We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, word nerds, how's it going? What is going on with you today? I hope you're having a good day. It's the morning time for me. I don't know what time it is for you. I am looking into my crystal ball, and I am going to say that it is currently 7:23 p.m. for you. You know who I'm talking to. Let's get into the words. The first word is forelady, F-O-R-E-L-A-D-Y. There are so many words that start with four, F-O-R-E. Most of these I don't think I have heard of. Forelady? A forelady is a noun from circa 1889, and the synonym is forewoman, which will be coming up. God, seriously, look at all these fore words. Forewoman will be 1, 2, 3 episodes from now. What is a forewoman? I assume it is somebody who's sort of running, maybe not running the business, but sort of like, foreman. That's another word, foreman. Just they're like managing the people in a certain section, a certain business, a certain something. And so there's a forewoman, and then they sometimes call them a forelady. Hey, lady! Forelady. Let's make a sound effect. I don't know what sound effect I'm going to make. I sometimes think about this beforehand, and I forgot to do that. And so I think I want to do something related to this word right here. And what would that even be? Let's do that sound. All right, next we have foreland. No, it says I'm supposed to pronounce it foreland. It's spelled foreland. Noun from the 14th century, the synonym is promontory and also headland or headland. And I don't know enough about what either of those words are to provide any additional information. Promontory, isn't that like a something? It's a something. Headland, foreland. We'll have to wait until the H's, I guess. Next is foreleg, or foreleg, foreleg, foreleg. You can say it that way too. Noun from the 15th century. It's just a front leg. Centaurs, because they're horses pretty much, they have four legs. Any animal that walks on 3, 4, 5, 6 legs, more than two, they got four legs probably. I don't know, maybe not. Guess there's some. Are there some that are different? I don't know. I don't have any four legs. I have side legs. Unless I stand sideways, then this one is my foreleg. And then I have to walk that way. Next is forelimb, L-I-M-B. Noun from circa 1796. This is a limb, like an arm, a wing, a fin, or a leg, that is situated anteriorly, as in the forelimb of a bat. It is situated in the front part of the body. So the forelimb of a bat, well, this is only when they're flying, because then when they're flying, they're situated like their wings are in the front. Those would be their forelimbs. And then their tiny little legs are in the back. So those are the back legs? So yes, their wings would be forelimbs. And their wings are so cool because they're just their fingers. Right? Right. Forelimb. Okay, yeah, again, I got no forelimbs because everything is situated, it's in a line. Next is forelock. Noun from 1589. It is a lock of hair growing from the front of the head. Like in the foreface? Or like, would this be my forelock? If I let my hair grow, I get locks, I get curls. And sometimes there's one right here in the front. It must be this part here that just like curls up around. And let's do that. I mean, it's short now, so it's not going to be great. But here, we can even do this. We can spin it around and make something terrible. That looks like crap. I'm making it look more like crap. Everything's backwards in the video. All right. Forelock. It's just a lock of hair in the front. Why would you even have a name for this? It's just your hair. Now we have foreman. Here we go. I assume it's similar to forewoman. Noun from the 15th century. This is a first or chief person as a member of a jury who acts as a chairman and spokesman. And yes, of course, I did not even think about that example. The foreman of the jury. And if it's a woman, they say forewoman. But what if they are non-gendered? What if they don't identify as a man or a woman? What are you going to call them? Foreperson seems like the logical guess, but I don't know. I think we need a new, different word that's not man, not woman, not person. Human? No. I don't know. I think it should be one syllable. For woman is fine. We're used to that word, but I think one syllable would be good. For blan. No. Somebody will come up with something. Maybe it should be somebody who does not feel like they have a gender who should come up with this word. Okay. B1. We have no numbers. B1 for foreman is a chief and often specially trained worker who works with and usually leads a gang or crew. I don't think that they mean gang as in the gang who's like on the streets. I'm being real stereotypical here. On the streets, selling drugs, wearing bandanas, having colors, making hand signs. No, of course, yes, I know. I'm being stereotypical. I'm just doing it to be silly. No, a gang of people who are working, or crew. That's the other word that they used here. So yes, that is the foreman of the gang, the foreman of the crew. Although now I think that the gangs on the streets should have a foreman. I would like to see somebody in a very official capacity for the gangs, managing them, working with them, leading them. B2 is next. A person in charge of a group of workers, a particular operation, or a section of a plant. Once you put them in charge of a thing, they are now the foreman, forewoman, foreperson, forelady. How can you not say lady like that? I mean, it's just the best way. Foremanship. That is a noun. Maybe the foreman is a foreman of a ship. They have foremanship on the ship. All right. Next is foremast, or just foremist. Noun from 1582. This is the mast nearest the bow of a ship. The mast nearest the bow of a ship, which I think would be the front, and it's in the front, and it's before all the other masts. This ship has 7 masts. Which one is the foremast? It's that one. Foremost. First form. Adjective from before the 12th century. Number one. First in a series or progression. The foremost. Well, the foremost episode of this podcast is probably not great. Nope. I think it's old. The audio quality isn't great. I didn't know what I was doing. I was figuring it out. But there's something special. There's something special about the foremost thing. Number two, of first rank or position, and the synonym is preeminent. Preeminent. It's interesting that we say preeminent, like it is the most best thing of first rank or position, but pre makes me think of like before, for before a thing? Is it before? Is it because it's before the rest? It's pre the rest of them, but it can't be pre the thing. So I don't know. It's just an interesting way to use these words. Okay, next. Let's see. Do we have anything? Oh, this word. We have some etymology. Old English. It's from forma, which means first, akin to the old High German fruma, which means advantage. Also from Old English for, F-O-R-E, which means for, F-O-R-E. So yeah, it's about, it's first place, right? This podcast is obviously the foremost podcast of all the podcasts. It's definitely in the foremost region of most episodes. It's in that group. Now we have the second form of foremost. Adverb from before the 12th century. Number one. In the first place. So you're like, foremost, I would like to talk about how none of the dogs are picking up their own poop. Why aren't the dogs picking up their own poop? And then, secondly, I would also like to talk about the cheese. Number two, most importantly, as in first and foremost, this is the most important thing that we should be talking about. Why aren't the dogs picking up their poop? Why can we train them to do this? Now we have foremother. Foremother, noun from 1582. And yes, this is maybe what you're thinking. It is a female ancestor. The forefathers, we got them. We also got the foremothers. We can't have us without both of them. We need both of them. Foremothers, we don't say foremothers enough. We say forefathers all the time, but not foremothers. We should say it more often because they are arguably more important. Forename, noun from 1533. This is a name that precedes one's surname. The surname here in America, we often say last name. And your first name, you say first name. I think we talked about this for the word first name. So my first name, my forename is Spencer. That is how I was born. I haven't changed nothing. That's just who I be. My forename. Now, I don't hear people say forename so much. I also don't hear surname very much, but I think in other countries, they say surname, so maybe they say forename. Are you maybe British? If you are British or some other non-American English person, do you say forename? Please let me know. Or don't. Forenamed is next, with a D at the end. Adjective from the 13th century. Named previously, as in aforesaid, A-F-O-R-E-S-A-I-D. Named previously, I said it beforehand, I said it aforesaid, forenamed. Now, how would you use this in a sentence? Named previously, I previously named this thing, so they are forenamed, but does it imply that they are not named that thing anymore? Like, what was your first name? There are, like, okay, Will and Harper. I just mentioned this movie. Harper is their current name, but they have they call it a dead name. So would that be, they were forenamed something, and I can't even remember what their first name was. Arthur, something with an A? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how we're using this exactly. Now we have forenoon. Forenoon. Yeah, noon. N-O-O-N. You can emphasize either syllable. Noun from the 15th century. This is the early part of the day ending with noon. Let's see. Right now, I am in the forenoon times because it is 7:08 a.m. And so I got under 5 hours left in forenoon. The synonym is just morning. That's it. Forenoon. Yeah, the 15th century was when they were saying this, and it definitely seems like something that they would say at that time. I don't know how to speak in Old English words or, you know, even early modern English. Forenoon, I shall eat my breakfast. Okay, moving on. Two. Okay, this is not a four word, or is it? I don't know. We'll have to look at the etymology. This word is the first form of the word forensic. Ooh. This is, let's see, forensic, adjective from 1659. Ooh, forensics in the 1600s were very, very different from what they are now. Sleepy Hollow is a good, I think, example. I don't know how true it is, but it's a good, interesting look at old forensic sciences. All right, number one, belonging to, used in, or suitable to courts of judicature, or to public discussion and debate. Something suitable for judicial courts or to public discussion and debate. This is interesting. Like, I know we use obviously forensic stuff in a court of law, but this one seems a little bit different. I don't know. It was something about people talking about stuff, debating, discussing in a judi. I don't know. I'm not familiar with this one. This one might be more from the 1600 times, and then it evolved to what we know of forensics as now. So number two. See, we got more. The synonyms are argumentative and rhetorical. So is the original meaning was all about talking, discussing, figuring out ideas, stuff like that. Interesting. Number three, relating to or dealing with the application of scientific knowledge to legal problems, as in forensic medicine, also forensic science, also forensic pathologist, also forensic experts. Four examples. Wait, five? One, two, three, four. Yeah, four examples. Wow, forensic, you really broke the mold. So, dealing with the application of scientific knowledge to legal problems. We got a legal problem. We are trying to figure out the legal situation of this. Who did the thing? What's going on? We got an issue, and we don't know how to solve it except for science. Science will come in and figure out your legal problem. Science is always fixing the legal problems. So yeah, this can be used in so many different things. Medicine, science in general, a pathologist, they're dealing in the medicine and the sciences, and also just experts, forensic experts. This could be anything. They're going to come in with their scientific knowledge to help your legal problem. Forensically is an adverb. And this word, here we go. Let's look at the etymology. It is from the Latin word forensis, which means public, or also just forensic, which is not helpful. Also from the Latin word forum, which means forum. And so, yeah, that's just like a group of people talking. Let's have a forum. Let's discuss. Let's discuss the matters of the day. All right, now let's move on to the second form of forensic, which is a noun from 1814. Number one, an argumentative exercise. Ooh, did you do your exercises today? Yes, I practiced how to argue very well. I went and had a class on arguing. An argument is not just saying, yes, it is, or no, it isn't. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. Yes, I screwed it up, but I love that Monty Python sketch. Okay, number two. This is the art or study of argumentative discourse. And I believe it is saying it is sometimes plural. Plural. The art or study of argumentative discourse. Do you just love figuring out how people argue, why they argue? What are the details? Getting real in the weeds, just arguing in general. That's forensic. Number three, also it looks like it's kind of plural. This is the application of scientific knowledge to legal problems. Very similar to what we saw before. But especially, scientific analysis of physical evidence And where might that physical evidence be coming from? It might be coming from a crime scene. And yes, this is, of course, what we all think of when we think of forensics. This is a fascinating branch of science. Of course, there's the Forensic Files show, which I know Sharon used to watch a lot. They talk about real cases and how forensics came in and saved the day for their legal problems. Dexter, the show Dexter, deals a lot with forensics because that is his day job. He specifically is a blood splatter expert, but, you know, he works in the forensics department of the Miami Police Department, and so they're the ones who are looking at the blood, testing the fingerprints, the DNA, looking at all of the things around to use science to figure out what's going on. It's, you know, arguably way more important than all of the other police people. I mean, they're okay. They're okay, I guess, but the forensics, that's where it's at. Sharon actually thought about getting into forensic sciences, forensic nursing, something like that, because she just loves that stuff so much. I shall put a link in the show notes for forensics. There are so many levels of ways that you can use forensics, be involved in forensics in some way. It is so, so fascinating and interesting. You know, looking at what's under somebody's fingernails. I also have to mention the agents, the FBI agents in Twin Peaks. What's his name? He comes in and he's, you know, looking at the type of soap that was used and the rope that was used to tie her arms up and all those things. And so it's just so fascinating. I don't remember if they were talking about forensics in Twin Peaks, but that's what they were doing. All right, next. Foreordain. This is a transitive verb from the 15th century. It is to dispose or appoint in advance. To dispose or appoint. I am appointing you, I am ordaining you the minister of this situation in advance of something else. I have foreordained you. The current minister is here. They're not going anywhere. But when they go somewhere, it's going to be you. You are the minister. I think of minister just because ordain, you know, priest, minister, whatever. That's where the brain goes. The synonym is predestine. Would that be now? Or I don't know. I don't know if this word is pronounced a different way. I mean, it has an E at the end, which makes me question how exactly it's pronounced. But let's go to the massive pre section in this book. There's going to be a lot of these words. Here we go. And there's a whole list of more pre words that aren't even in the dictionary. So let's look up predestined with an E at the end. Yeah, that's it. That's just how you say it. I just wanted to confirm. Foreordination, that is a noun. I got to go through foreordination to be ordained beforehand in the past. Forepart is next. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, the anterior part of something. It's literally anything. If there's a thing that has a thing in the front, it's the forepart. The ants, their antennae, those are the foreparts because they're in the front. I don't know if we can use forensics to argue about what is the front part of a thing. Can you? What's the front part of a hot dog? Number two for forepart is the earlier part of a period of time. If the period of time lasts for 365 days, then the forepart would be in the front half, the first half, January through June? Yeah, before July. Forepast. You can spell this P-A-S-S-E-D or P-A-S-T for past. Adjective from 1557. The synonym is bygone. Oh, the bygone era of the mammoths. Oh, I miss that time so much. They were so nice and sweet and hairy and probably stinky. The mammoths. The four past mammoths. Forepaw is next. Noun from 1782. This is the paw of a foreleg. I got my foreleg. It's my forelimb. My paws are the forepaws. I got four paws. Next is forepeak. P-E-A-K. Noun from 1693. The extreme forward lower compartment or tank, usually used for trimming or storage in a ship. Why do they call it a peak? The extreme forward lower compartment or tank, usually used for trimming or storage in a ship. I don't know why we're using the word trimming there, why we're using the word peak. It's a thing in a ship in the front that they store stuff in. The forepeak. Next is, this would have been a fun one to do a sound effect for. I missed that opportunity. It's the word foreplay. Noun from 1929. Again, you know, every once in a while this comes up. I got a shout out. I got to say, this is not a subject for children if there are children listening. But also, they should learn how to be adults. And maybe the adults should teach them in a respectful way, and so they don't have to, they can fumble around less when they are an adult. So, foreplay, a very important thing. Number one, erotic stimulation preceding sexual intercourse. Now, you may never even get to sexual intercourse. You may not want to do that, get around to it, whatever. That may not be a thing, but usually, on average, if you're wanting to have the sexual intercourse, any sort of sexual erotic things that happen before that part is the foreplay, because you are playing with each other before the real play. Everybody's got different ways that they want to do sexual things, if they want to do them at all. And, you know, what a lot of people say is that this is a very important thing for people to really get going. It helps them. They don't want to jump right in to the sex. No, you gotta warm up. It takes some time sometimes. So foreplay. Don't you forget about foreplay. Ugh, too many syllables. But yeah, you gotta do the foreplay. Number two, action or behavior that precedes an event. And what sort of event? Maybe there's a headliner, a music headliner, anything before that. It's just foreplay. It's important. The stand-up comic before the show, they're going to warm you up. They're doing the foreplay. So you don't want to skip it. No. 1929. Who invented this word? What? I'm curious. All right, yeah, no etymology. I think it's clear enough. Okay, next. Four quarter, noun from the 15th century. This is the front half of a lateral half of the body or carcass of a quadruped. Okay, that was a little confusing. The example is a four quarter of beef. So you're... Okay, let's just break it down. The front half of a lateral half of the body or carcass. Okay, so, you know, we're dealing with a dead cow, basically. If we're talking about beef, it's a dead cow. So the front half of the cow is, you know, from their middle portion to their head. That would be the front part, the fore part, if you will. But then the fore quarter is one half of that, of the lateral, that would be the side. So you're just taking the right half of the fore part, and so it's the fore quarter, because it's a quarter of the whole thing, one quarter. You got four quarters, and you're dealing with one of the four quarters, one of the ones in the front, and there's back quarters? Sure. All right. Yep, not... No four quarters of beef for me. Four reach is next. This is a verb from 1644 starting with intransitive. It's talking about a ship. It means to gain ground in tacking. So I guess tacking must be some sort of ship sailing word. And you are gaining ground, so you are reaching them. Oh, I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to reach you, boat, because I think we could be friends. So I'm for-reaching? Transitive is to gain on or go ahead of when close-hauled. And, of course, this is also talking about a ship, probably. I don't know nothing about no ships for-reaching. Now we have our very last word. Yay, we made it. It is for-run. F-O-R-E-R-U-N. Is this the run you do before your run? It is a verb from before the 12th century. It is only transitive. Number one, to run before. To run before. Forerun. To run before. Are you running before a thing? Are you doing a forerun in front of somebody who's chasing you? Are you doing a run before your run, before you play a game, before you have sex? What's the forerun? Number two, to come before as a token of something to follow. To come before as a token of something to follow? Are you literally giving a token here? Number three, the synonyms are forestall and anticipate. Well, we'll see forestall soon in the not the next episode, the one after that, I think. So forestall, anticipate. It's like, ooh, there's something happening. We're ready. We want to forerun. Forestall. Stall them before we run. I don't really know how this is getting used. I just don't. It's old. It's from before the 12th century. So maybe people aren't using this anymore. All right. Let's pick a word of the episode. Today we had for lady, for land, for leg, for limb, for lock, foreman, foremast, foremost, foremost, for mother, for name, for named, for noon, forensic, forensic, for ordain, for part, for past, for paw, for peak, for play, for quarter, for reach, and for run. So many good words. I mean, the most important one might just be foreplay. Because, you know, for reasons. But I'm going to pick forensic as the word of the episode. And I'm going to really try to do different songs. Because as you have been hearing, because you are obviously a regular listener of this show or watcher, that the songs are just the same. That's just sort of where my brain goes. But we got to try something different. Now, I don't necessarily need to add a whole lot more words because I'm not so good with the words, but we can do something a little bit more musical, I think. But it's hard to do something musical when you're just saying the same word over and over again. Forensics is a science. It's also sometimes arguing. Forensics, forensics. Study your forensics. Test that DNA and the blood splatter. Okay, whatever. That was fine. I don't believe... I'm checking for my phone because that's where I put my lists. I don't believe I have another movie to tell you about. Last night, when I came home from work, I spent about 2.5 hours putting together a very large cat tree for our cat Audrey. We have a short cat tree. It's even shorter than it's supposed to be because one of the posts broke, and so just the top platform was sitting on the previous platform, which she loved. But also, we have a cabinet with open shelves, and she has recently been climbing on the shelves, and we do not like that. And she puked on it. So we were like, she likes to be high. You know, cats like to be high. And so the shelves were higher than her cat tree. And so we're like, well, maybe we need to get a taller cat tree. And oh boy, we got a taller cat tree. It's taller than me. The very top is taller than me. And I'm not like tall, but I am not short. And so it was not fun to put this together. Most of it was fine. Some of it really sucked. But yeah, it took a long time. There were a lot of pieces. And so that took a while after work. And then we just watched another episode of The Studio. A fun, stressful episode, as they all are. Oh, that's a great show. All right. So no movies, but cat trees. Oh, and also, she doesn't seem terribly interested in it, probably because it has a new weird smell. And there's a bottom sort of bed area that she's been laying in, but I want her to go up high. She can go up higher than she's ever been before, and I want her to go up there and see the world. And the world is our living room. That's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out the show. Tell your friends, tell your enemies. Check out the show notes for additional stuff and ways to get in contact with me and things that you can do and all that fun stuff. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye. Hmm.